It is so good to be back here. I was thinking about this pulpit swap. If you're not aware, we've had three different congregations involved: Town Center in Mooresville, Greensburg, First Church of God in Greensburg, and Meridian in Indianapolis. And it seemed like everything was about perfect, like how we did it, because the series is called God at Work, and it was God at work in you, God at work through you, and God at work around you. And the pastor at Mooresville, Doug Linville, was a counselor for many, many years. So God at work in you seemed to be perfect for him. Terry Canfield last week was here and talked about God around you. And last week I was at Greensburg and I was asking the people, would it be fair to describe Terry as an extrovert with a capital E? And the lady said, it would be fair to describe Terry as an extrovert with a capital every letter. So God at work through you fits Terry really well. And then God at work around you. And I don't know that that necessarily fits me, but there was this one really cool service that we had March 15th of 2020. I remember that date because the day before, Nick and Katie got married here. And the world was about ready to shut down. But we had a wedding that Saturday. That was the last Saturday that it could have possibly worked for several months. And then we had a service here, and we were getting ready. We didn't know what was going to happen with COVID. We had a meeting, in fact, afterwards with our leaders, and we decided we're going to stay open. We're going to do this. And then later that night, we got the news that, hey, crowds are shut down to 10 people. So we're like, oh, I guess we're not going to be continuing to meet. So that last Sunday that we had, Sunday, March 15th, when it felt like the world was going crazy, we didn't know what was going to happen, there was this sermon, and the story was about Elisha being surrounded. And Matthew Harris talked to me about it a few times. He said later in the pandemic, he's like, I've been thinking about that sermon. And I was like, well, nobody was there that Sunday, so why don't we try it again? Matthew was here and a few other people, so why don't we try it again? And so that's what we're going to do. So my question is this morning, have you ever felt like you've been surrounded? Have you ever felt like you had everything or maybe everyone coming against you? Maybe you've been surrounded by bullies. Maybe at school or sometime you were out and you had bullies kind of surrounding you. Maybe you've been surrounded where you've just had blame flying at you. Maybe your family, maybe a friend group. Maybe church, maybe neighborhood, but all this blame just coming in at you and you just felt like nobody was for you, everybody was against you, and you just wanted to eat worms. Maybe you just felt surrounded by problems. They just kept coming one after another. It just seemed like nothing was going right. Everything was breaking. Everything was falling apart. And you started to think that maybe Murphy of Murphy's Law was an optimist because everything was going completely wrong. Have you ever felt that way, like you've been surrounded by problems? I have been surrounded. I've been surrounded. I felt that. I felt the fear of that. And the story that I was going to tell was about a time when I was surrounded by police with their guns drawn at me. But I've told that story way too many times, and Jenny wants me to never do it again. So I'm just not going to tell that one again. So we'll skip. Yeah, Carol's like, yes. So instead of doing that one, I figured I would go to a church one. And there was a time when I had a meeting. It was a Saturday meeting. And I remember, I knew that there were some people who were unhappy. It wasn't this church, by the way. It was another one. But there were some people I knew were frustrated about some things and frustrated with some of the things I was doing. And we scheduled this meeting on a Saturday. And I thought it was going to be a discussion. I was a little naive at this time. I was a young pastor, so I thought it was going to be a discussion. Well, it started with a guy with an opening statement, like a prosecuting attorney, like bringing all the charges against me, basically. I was like, oh, this is going to be an interrogation or an inquisition. Like, what is this? And I just remember, like, feeling blindsided. And as that meeting happened, I looked, and I think there were about 20 people there, and it just felt so weird. And while it's true that not everybody had critical words and felt like we're attacking, it's also true nobody spoke up for me. So here I was, a young pastor. I was in this mood, and it just felt like everybody was against me. So if you've ever been in that situation, me too, I've been in there. And I'll have to say, somehow by the grace of God, very uncharacteristic to me, I kept my composure that whole time. But when I walked out the door, that's when the fear really hit. And I'll have to say, like, I processed it. I went through the different stages. Scientists will tell us that, like, when we're surrounded, when we have danger, when we encounter, we feel afraid. And the reactions are usually fight. We have that adrenaline where maybe we're facing danger and we fight, or flight. We're super fast so we can run away. Or then another one that's kind of added to lately has been freeze. Maybe that's why the police yelled freeze at me, huh? Because they didn't want me to fight or flight. But those are kind of the options. And I remember, like, waking up on Sunday morning after a really rough meeting and just trying to rally myself to go to church that day. And there was that one guy especially, and I was just thinking, I'm going to have to encounter him. And I wanted to just keep the covers over my head that Sunday, but I'm the pastor. I get paid to come to church, so I knew that wasn't an option. I couldn't just flee, go somewhere else, and it seemed kind of inappropriate to fight. So I was trying to figure out, like, what is it that I can do? And I called a friend, and some good things came out of that call. I'll tell you about that later. But we're going to switch over to the story now. And in the story, we have Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, is locked into all these battles against Syria or Aram. Now, we can call them either one. Depending on your translation, they're the Arameans or the Syrians. So I'm going to mention those two interchangeably because Syrian is a little bit easier for me. But Israel and Syria were locked into this battle. And Syria was getting really frustrated because every time they attacked Israel, Israel seemed to know what was coming, and they were prepared with the defense to ward off the Syrian attacks. And the king of Syria was getting really angry. So he gathered his advisors, and he was venting. He's thinking, why? Why is this happening? It seems like anything that I whisper, Israel knows about it. And one person suggested, well, there's a prophet. His name is Elisha. And he somehow knows about what you're saying, and he's telling the king about all these plans, and the king is prepared because of Elisha. So they came up with a plan. Let's take out Elisha. So what they ended up doing, they found out that Elisha was living in this place called Dothan. So the king of Syria sent the army, and the armies had surrounded Dothan. We're going to pick up our story in 2 Kings 6:14 through 15. Then the king of Aram sent horses and chariots and a strong force there to Dothan. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. Now I'm guessing that when he woke up that morning, he didn't expect to be surrounded by all this trouble. Like, have you ever had that when the morning starts, and maybe it's an email, maybe it's bad news, something breaks, something happens, and it's like, oh, what a great way to start this day. Well, this is a really bad way to start the day. And thinking about fear and when we're surrounded and our options are fight, flight, or freeze, we have two people against an army. What do you think is the best option? Well, he asked a pretty good question, right? What shall we do? Now, I read it in an even tone, a pretty even tone, but clearly this man was scared. Anybody would be. He's a human being. He was afraid, and he's asking, like, "What? I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do. What is it that we do?" So he turns to Elisha, and this is Elisha's response in 2 Kings 6:16. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. Now, when you're surrounded by an army, how practical is this advice? Let's switch over the emotion from fear to anger. Let's say that the fear is reacting and you're angry. Somebody says, "Hey, don't be mad about this." Like, how do you feel? "Oh, yeah, yeah, thanks for that good advice. I never considered that," right? So here, this may seem at the onset kind of insensitive of Elisha. It's like, if you don't have fear when you're in this situation, there's something wrong with your brain. Because if we don't have fear, how long will we last, right? We'll just jump into all these reckless decisions and do crazy things that will probably lead to our death or lead to some our arrest or something awful. But he says, don't be afraid. So let's examine that. Because one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that fear is natural. And anytime, it seems like, in the scriptures where the Lord sends an angel, a messenger, a servant to speak, a spokesperson, oftentimes the word that they say are, do not be afraid. Now, some people who count this, I can't verify that this is true, have said that this is in the Bible 365 times, one for each day of the year, so it's God's message to us every day, do not be afraid. As we think about that, though, fear is natural. And when do you have to hear that message not to be afraid? When you're afraid, right? When you're afraid. And it's not just an easy switchover. But maybe part of this is that even though fear is natural, that we don't have to stay afraid and just react like fear dictates to us. In the greatest movie ever made, It's a Wonderful Life, the hero, George Bailey, has a time when he is encountered, he's surrounded. He's just gotten married and is taken off on his honeymoon. And all of a sudden, mobs of people are surrounding him and they are afraid. There's been a run on the bank. There's been an economic collapse and people are afraid and they need to go get their money really quick. And so at this point, he has some options. He can flee. He's on his honeymoon. Just keep going, right? Fight. I don't know what exactly he would do. Maybe go beat up Potter or something. I don't know. Or freeze. Like, what is he going to do? Well, George Bailey decides to take action, and he acknowledges the fears, and he talks to the people. It's really scary if you think you're going to lose all your money. Like, what do you do when it seems like the economy is collapsing, nothing is working? And he says to them, this thing is not as black as it seems. We can get through this thing. Have faith. Another way of saying, don't be afraid. It's not quite as bad. Maybe this is a little different than what it seems right now. It seems really, really black. It seems really, really terrible. But it's maybe not as bad. Elisha, in a very confusing twist of the scripture, had a mentor named Elijah. And so Elijah was the one who trained Elisha. So a lot of what Elisha knew, he learned from Elijah. And there, Elisha would have been really familiar with a story that was important to Elijah. It was a time when he just had a big victory, it appeared. He was facing off, surrounded by all kinds of false prophets. He won, he had the adrenaline rush, and then the queen threatened his life. And he went in, he responded to that fear. He was afraid, just like any of us would be. He was afraid a powerful person said he was going to die. And that fear kicked in, and he went into flight. He ran. He got outside. He just kept going and kept going. And finally, maybe he had calmed down some, but the Lord, after he'd been fleeing and was away and was hiding out in the cave, the Lord appeared to him. And the story's great. A lot of you who are familiar with it love it. We're not going to get into it. But the Lord speaks in this gentle whisper. It's a gentle whisper. And asks, why are you hiding? Why have you been fleeing here? Why are you hiding? And we're going to pick up Elijah's response in 1 Kings 19:14. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. It's throwing everybody into the boat, right? The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So the Lord listened to Elijah vent in his fear, feeling like he was the only one. Everybody was out to get him. And he, instead of telling him to stay hidden or keep fleeing or go fight Queen Jezebel, instead of doing all those things, he gave him a list of things to do, a proactive list. It wasn't directly related, but to get and just take some action. And then after giving Elijah these instructions, God responded in 1 Kings 19:18. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. In other words, Elijah, right now you think you're alone, but you're not. There's all kinds of people with you that you're unaware of. Not only am I with you, which should be enough, but there's loads of other. It's not what you're thinking is just fear distorting your thinking. It's not everyone that's out to get you. There's still loads of people who are with you and with me. So let's go back to Elisha. 2 Kings 6:16 through 17. He just told his servant not to be afraid. Elisha said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Is there an army surrounding them? Maybe Israel's ready and they have a king surround. Like, what is this going to be? And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This story is so cool, isn't it? Don't you love this story? It's incredible. But let's pause here, because this is not the first time that Elisha has seen a chariot of fire. He's seen them before. And that story is important too. Going back to his mentor. So Elijah felt like he was alone, and he wasn't. And then the Lord linked him with another person named Elisha. And as it was about time for Elijah to leave, Elisha had a request. He requested a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be with him. Elijah didn't answer yes or no. He said, "Okay, if the Lord's going to answer this, you're going to see me when I depart." And a little bit later, there was a chariot of fire that showed up and carried Elijah off in another really cool story. Elisha had already seen the chariot of fire, and it was a reminder to him that he had a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Now, at that point, to the servant, it had looked like they were surrounded by the Syrian army, but in reality, they were surrounded by an army far greater. Everything was not quite what it looked like, especially in the moments of fear. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Star Wars? The original one. All right. So the next part of this series, the next part of this story, George Lucas stole this and he put it into Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie, because what Elisha pulls off here is basically a Jedi mind trick. All right? So 2 Kings 6:19, Elisha said to them. So he's talking. They're surrounded. They don't know this. He's stuck. They're blind. Their eyes are closed. Okay, so then this is what he says to the Syrian stormtroopers. Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. These are not the droids you're looking for," right? I think he probably did that too, right? "Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." Move along, right? Maybe that's what it says in the message. I don't know, but it's pretty close. So they do. And in this story, they do this. And Elisha leads the Syrian stormtroopers into the heart of the capital. And as they do, they're like seated. So he leads them there. They sit down. They're surrounded now by the Israel army. And then he prays, "Lord, open their eyes." So they lose their blindness, and now they can see that they are the ones who are surrounded. And in a really cool twist in this story, Elisha has the king prepare them a table in the midst of their enemies. And so they eat, surrounded by their enemies. And it's almost like the Lord does something so awesome where enemies become almost friends. Or at least as they eat in the presence of, surrounded by the Israelite army, they go back home and the war is over. That's how the Lord took care of it. So it turns out that when Elisha said to his servant that morning, when they're surrounded by an army, an enemy army, "Do not be afraid," he wasn't just an old kook hermit Jedi living out in the middle of nowhere who'd lost all touch with reality. He had good reason to say what he did, because he knew that the spirit that was with them was greater than the spirit that was coming against them. So let's go back to that Sunday, I woke up. I felt afraid. I didn't know what to do. I called my friend. And as we talked, one of the things that I realized is that even though I felt alone, even though I thought everyone was against me in my fear, that wasn't the case. There were more than that were with me than more than were with my prosecutor, who was really kind of acting on his own and just kind of egg people on. And not only that, but the Spirit, like if I look to the Lord, I don't have to worry because I just don't have to be afraid. I don't have to stay afraid. So I remember that Sunday going and thinking, okay, so fight, flight, or freeze are not good options. So, but let's just do another alternative. Let's just look to the Lord. And I remember when the person who I felt had been attacking me showed up and we did our usual exchange. Hey, how you doing? My answer was, I'm doing good today. And that really unnerved him. Because I think he was like hoping I'd be either afraid or mad or something. But I was doing okay. I was doing all right. I was feeling good. And the first song that morning I remember we were doing, it was a popular song at the time called Always. And I just remember looking to the Lord and raising my hands as we sang, my foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Now, the Apostle Paul mentioned that if we follow Jesus, there will be times where we have to face opposition. Like the Satan, the devil, is our enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. And whether what his role is in stirring people up against us to really take us out is something to consider. And Paul had this one congregation that seemed like his favorite. It was Philippi, if we look at his letters. And it seemed like things were going pretty well in Philippi. And he wrote this letter. It's the book of joy because he used the word joy a lot. You can tell he really loves this congregation and Philippi. Things are going great. But even though that things were going well, he acknowledged that they would have to deal with opposition. Like it wasn't going to be smooth sailing for the people of Philippi. And Paul gave this really great advice in Philippians 1, 27 through 28. Whatever happens, sometimes you're going to get surrounded. You're going to have bad days, whether it's problems or criticisms or whatever, the devil or, you know, whatever it is, whatever happens, whatever you're dealing with, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We might be afraid. We might be, you know, feel like fight, flight, or freeze is our only option, but it's not. And then he goes on to say, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. When we look to the Lord, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to stay afraid. When we look to the Lord, we can see that the spirit that is with God is greater than the spirit that is in the world or the spirit that may come against us. We can see that even though it doesn't look like it, we don't see God at work, that God is at work around us. God is doing something around us that we have no idea about and that we can trust the Lord. That even when it looks like we're surrounded by God. And that's our calling throughout the whole thing is to just keep looking to the Lord and for his help. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes with faith that our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Help us not to give in to the fear. Help us not to give in to the messages of the enemy who comes to sow fear and hatred and sin. Sometimes we look in the wrong places. And sometimes we are afraid and feel alone and surrounded. But thank you that love is stronger than hate, that good is greater than evil, that wrong will fail and right prevail, and that life is more powerful than death. May the peace of Christ be with us so strongly that even when it looks like we are surrounded, our eyes are open to see that we are surrounded by you. Use us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and the perfect love that drives out fear. In Jesus' name, amen.